everybody. How's everyone doing today? Good, good. Well, I'm excited to be with you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Paul DeChico. I serve here as our experience director, and in that role, I have the privilege every week of serving alongside some incredible people who volunteer their time and their talent to help us do what we do. How many know what we do on a Sunday morning here does not happen because of any one individual? It's a whole bunch of people that come together because they believe in the vision, they believe in the people of this community and investing in them, and it's an honor to serve alongside them. Can we just take a moment to welcome those who are joining us online or by video at one of our campuses? We've got a lot of people online or by video here joining us. Glad to have you guys. I want to thank Pastor David for giving me the opportunity to come and share with you guys today. I know a lot of you, what you see of Pastor David is what takes place in this platform, and he does an incredible job of leading us, discipling us from this platform. But there is a whole lot that you don't see about how he invests in the people of this church, invests in the leaders of this church, our volunteers, and the people of our community to help us do what we do. And I can promise you we would not be making the kind of impact we're making if it wasn't for his leadership. And it's a true privilege to serve alongside him and be part of his team. I'm going to go ahead and pray over our service here this morning, and then we'll jump into the message, all right? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to hear from you. We ask that these words would be your words, not mine. Prepare our hearts to receive them, and we give the care of this time to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Over these last few weeks, Pastor Dave has been leading us through a series called Follow, where we've been talking about what it means to follow Jesus. And you might be saying, okay, why is that so important? Why are we in this series called Follow? I've already said yes to Jesus. I've made that decision. I've checked that box. So why do we need to keep talking about it, right? Well, the reason we exist as a church is because we believe there's no better way to live your life than as a follower of Jesus. There's no greater sense of purpose you can experience than doing that. And you might be here today just kind of checking things out. Maybe somebody tricked you to get here. Maybe they said, hey, I've got this really cool coffee shop I just discovered on Gilmore Drive. Would you come out and have some coffee with us, right? So if you got tricked, I'm not really sorry. I'm still glad you're here. I'm sorry that you were tricked. But go ahead and check out our coffee afterwards, all right? But this will at least give you an opportunity to hear why so many people get together as followers of Jesus, why we believe there's no better way to live your life. And the first message in this series, Pastor David talked about the fact that that following Jesus is an invitation. It's not an obligation. Nobody's going to chase you around with a bat today and make sure that you've made a decision to follow Jesus before you can get out of here, okay? I promise you, none of that will happen, all right? And then over these last couple of weeks, we've talked about the fact that, you know, Jesus extends this invitation. He doesn't require us to step in a relationship with him, but he invites us into this relationship. And then what does that look like? From the point of saying yes to Jesus, yes, I want to be a follower of you, all the way to becoming what we would call a fully surrendered follower. What starts to shift in our perspective? What are some of the actions that change the way that we think? How does that start to shift our approach to life? And so we're going to continue in that vein here this morning. How many of you have ever followed somebody in a car before? Would follow someone in a car before? So how many of you remember the old MapQuest days where in order to get directions somewhere, you had to actually plan ahead, right? You had to be at home. You had to know where you were going, where you were leaving from. You had to put in your origin, your destination on a computer where you had access to a printer. You printed out those directions from MapQuest. And then, you know, this wasn't really that safe, if you think about it, right? We've got these multi-page printouts that are next to us that we're flipping through while we're driving, right, to get to a destination. And in those days, if you met up with some folks, maybe you had your MapQuest directions to get there, and you met up and someone said, hey, you know what, we had a great meal here, now let's go, you know, to such and such a place for dessert. You had no idea where it was. You had no choice but to follow them, right? Now it's a lot easier. You got your smartphone, and you can just put the directions in your GPS. You don't even have to know what the address is. You can just Google the name of the place, and it'll find it and link directly to your maps, right? So we used to have to follow a lot more, but I would imagine that most of us still find ourselves in situations where we're having to follow people. Now, how many of you are the type of person where when you've got someone following you, you're mindful of the fact that somebody's following you, right? When you get to that light and it's starting to turn yellow, you actually slow down and stop because you know the person behind you is going to hit a red light. When you're taking a right turn, you get over in that right lane well in advance. You turn on your blinker so that the person behind you knows exactly what to anticipate. So there's a lot of you that do that. Now, how many of you are the kind who couldn't care less that someone's behind you? It's like, oh, you want to follow me? Sure. Good luck keeping up, right? You're the kind, if there's any flicker of yellow in that light, you're running it, and they better run that red light or they're losing you, right? You're the type of person that you're going to cross four lanes of traffic right before the right turn, no turn signal, no indicator, and the person following you just ends up on the other side of town, right? My brothers, I got two younger brothers, and they both live in Nashville. We grew up in New England, so New England just still feels like home to all of us, but they're down in Nashville, and once or twice a year, they'll be up here visiting. And last summer, my brothers were up here, and one of my brothers wanted to go into Boston one day, and we were going to go do some kayaking on the Charles, which if any of you have ever done that or heard about it, it's a great time. I would highly recommend it, but we didn't really know our way around the air. My wife and I don't go into Boston very often. We love it when we do, but Boston is not one of the easiest places to get around. You know, it's not like a grid, like a typical city, right? Where if you take a wrong turn, you just go to the next road, you take a right, take the next right, and then all of a sudden you come upon the road that you missed, right? In Boston, if you miss your turn, you're going to end up down through a tunnel, around a curve, and on the other side of town, and it's going to take you 45 minutes to find your way back, right? So it's not a good area to get lost or be following someone who you have a hard time following, right? So I was thinking, okay, we should probably figure out what garage is going to be closest to where we're trying to go and put it in our GPS and plan our route before we take off. And he's like, no, we'll go into Boston, and we're going to kind of drive around some of the areas there. We'll probably find some off-street parking, save some money. I'm like, all right, he seems to know what he's talking about, so let's do that, right? So we're following my brother into Boston. And we get into Boston, traffic's congested. We come up to this light, and he does one of these last-minute jumps lanes and is going to take a turn. And there were too many cars I couldn't get over. On top of that, I had a cop that pulled up behind me. And so I'm like, I really can't do anything stupid now, right? And so I don't even want to, like, take the risk of putting my blinker on. Like, I really need to cross these three lanes of traffic. I was like, no, I'm just going to keep on going through this light. So we got separated. My wife and I ended up finding a garage. They never found that off-street parking. And so we're on the phone trying to get them back to the garage where we were at. But why are those experiences so frustrating? Because in order to effectively follow someone, you've got to stay in step with them, right? They get to a certain point, they get to that light, and you've got to be able to continue with them through that light, right? They're going to take a turn. You've got to be able to stay with them to take that turn. That's the only way that you really can follow somebody. So the big idea that I want us to unpack here today is this. Following Jesus means going where he has gone. Following Jesus means going where he has gone. Again, you can't really follow someone if you can't stay in step with them, if you're not going to the same place that they have been. You know, there's all different types of approaches to management, leadership. Some of you, I'm gonna just make the assumption that there are no managers, leaders like this in here, okay? But some of you may work for managers or leaders who, the way that they lead is anything they don't want to do ends up on your desk, right? Things they're asking you to do are the grunt work that they just have no desire to put their hand in, right? They're the types of things that they won't even lift their finger to help you do, okay? There are managers that are that way. But a true leader leads by example. A leader is out in front of their team, leading their team, stepping into the direction that they're calling their team to go. And that's the kind of leader that Jesus was. Turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. So this is a time in Jesus' ministry right before he was arrested and crucified. And he was with his disciples, and the Bible tells us that during that night he washed his disciples' feet. And so we're going to read a little bit about what he said here in a moment. But before we get to that, in John chapter 17, verse 18, he's praying that same night to his Father. And he says to his Father this. He says, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So he's praying for his disciples and what they were going to face and what was in front of them before he went through what he went through. So he says, just as you sent me into the world, I came into the world, you sent me with a purpose to share your love with these people, to serve these people, to ultimately give my life for these people, for this world. And just as you sent me, I'm sending them. And then after he died and rose again, before he ascended to the Father, this is what he said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So he's saying, look, I came, I made disciples of you, I've taught you things, and now I want you to go and make disciples yourself. When we talk about this idea of being sent, Oftentimes, we can look at it through the lens of, okay, what do I need to go do? What's the career change I need to make, right? What's the schooling I need to get to go do whatever it is Jesus is sending me to do, calling me to do? Or maybe it's a move, right? You just feel like God's calling you out of New England. There's something in, let's say, Colorado, and you just feel like God is sending you there. And so that's sometimes how we can view this idea of being sent by God, being called by God, is going to something. It's a destination, right? Here's what I want you to write down. Being sent is about disposition, not destination. Being sent is about disposition, not destination. How many of you know that you can have two people in the exact same situation that have completely different perspectives on their situation? You know, maybe you've been in a situation where something happened and it completely shifted your perspective, your approach to the situation, the environment that you were in. I'll give you a personal example. So back in 2010, kind of the season of life I was in, I was recently married. I'd spent some time in the Navy after college. I was a supply officer, so I was in logistics. I was a business major in college, so that just seemed to line up. After that, I came back here, got a great job at a company out in Milford. Was making decent money. I'd completed my MBA at that point, so I was like, all right, all the school that I was anticipating having to do, I finally completed. Now I'm just going to keep climbing the corporate ladder and doing well in the corporate world. And I was happy in that season of life. Going into work, I looked forward to going into work. I had some great people that I was working with, some great people I was leading. And I was part of an organization that was kind of a new organization within the company. And there were some good things that we were doing, some good progress that we were making. But in 2010, towards the end of that year, I started to get some ministry opportunities here. I'd been serving on the worship team for years, but I'd started to lead small groups. I'd also been asked to be on the initial elders board here. And in starting to get some of those experiences, God started to stir something in me, and ultimately a call to occupational ministry. And so what that did for me is now I started to view where I was working differently. I was no longer as excited to go into work. Not that anything changed about my environment. I was still going to the same place, still same great people. But my heart started to be somewhere else. I started to want to do something else. And so I didn't view work the same way. I didn't look forward to Sunday nights because I was going to have to go into a job that I really just didn't want to be in. I talked to a friend of mine recently who had a little bit of a different experience. So he was in a job where he was dissatisfied and started to put the feelers out for other work. Actually did some interviewing, and during the interview process, he had the opportunity to do some reflecting on his current role. And in going through that exercise of reflecting on his current role, he started to see some different things in that role, and he's like, you know what? There's actually some good stuff here. And so he stepped back into that role and is enjoying where he's at. And again, I'm sure most of you can relate to something in your life where just your view on it changed the way that you approached it. And so being sent by Jesus is recognizing that you are sent exactly where he has you. It doesn't mean that there won't be a time where there's a change. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through different seasons in life. But you are sent to the people in your current location, your workplace, in your home. So let's turn over to John chapter 13. This is where John records Jesus' words right after he washed his disciples' feet. So John chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading in verse 12 here. It says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. So again, here's Jesus setting the example. Our Creator, Lord of heaven and earth, who came down, served us, ultimately gave his life for us, and now he calls us to go and serve others. So how do you look at those that you have influence with? How do you look at your kids? How do you look at your spouse? How do you look at your coworkers, your boss? Those that you're in community with in small groups or in your neighborhoods? Do you see them through the lens of what can they do for you? Maybe you see them through the lens of how they're hindering your happiness. Things they're doing that are frustrating you. Or do you see them as individuals that you're called to serve? Do you see it through the lens of what can I do for them? How can I help them? How can I make them better? How can I invest in them? And do you see people as a hindrance to your happiness Or do you see them as the point of your purpose? And you know, in thinking about that, there may be things about your kids, your spouse, your coworkers, your boss that frustrate you. You know, when you have kids, young kids in your home, they demand a lot, right? It's not even that it's bad stuff, but your kids demand a lot of time. And sometimes you can feel like, I have no time for myself. You know, one of my boys is in this phase right now where he just wants us to draw all kinds of things for him. So he'll be like, all right, Dada, he's really into dinosaurs. And so he was in a dinosaur phase for a long time, still kind of in that, starting to transition into like a sea creature phase. So he had us drawing all kinds of dinosaurs for him, and it would be like, all right, Dada, one more. And so we draw these dinosaurs, and I'm not a drawer, all right? I mean, I can doodle a little bit, but I'm not a drawer. I think I preached a message a year or two ago where I showed you an example of how awful my Pictionary drawing was, okay? So, but I'm trying to, you know, spend some time with my kid and do this, but it would just be one more, one more, one more. And after a while, you're just like, buddy, I've drawn like 11 dinosaurs here, and I don't even know half the dinosaurs you tell me to draw. I'm just making stuff up as I go. There are times we've gone and picked him up at Kidsong, and he's got one of the volunteers in there drawing for him, all right? And their drawings are incredible. We've got some gifted people in Kidsong, right? I'm just going to say that. But, and we actually learned some things. We're like, wow, how did they draw the mouth like that? Okay, well, we're going to start, you know, incorporating that into our drawings. And again, it's nothing bad, but it's just you spend all this time, you know, they want you to do this thing, and then it's another thing, then it's another thing. My wife and I are kind of in this phase where when we finally just are done, it's like, all right, you need to spend some time, like, doing your own drawing or watching your own show or whatever. We go hide in the room. It's like so backwards, right? Like, you used to send the kids to the room. Now we go hide in the room to just get away from the kids, right? But, you know, maybe your spouse has done some things. Maybe they said some things, or they did some things, or didn't say some things, or didn't do some things. And it's making it challenging for you to want to serve them, right? Maybe you've got some coworkers. They're always jockeying for position, maybe trying to put a bad light on you. It's hard to go into that environment and want to serve those people, want to make it about them and not about you. Maybe you've got a boss that you feel like just doesn't appreciate you, and so you're hesitant to do certain things because you feel like they're going to take credit for it and you're not going to get appreciated for the things that you're doing. But this is where you need to understand that Jesus equips you for where he sends you. Jesus equips you for where he sends you. We go back to that passage in Matthew 28. I'm going to read a little bit more of this, where Jesus, before he ascended, commissioned his disciples. He says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, this is the part we read before, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So even though there may be challenges about the season you're in, the relationships you have, the people God has called you to right now, you need to recognize that the one who's all-powerful is with you. He's here to enable you to be with you in those environments, in those relationships. And we need to learn to draw from him. You know, when we're frustrated with a particular relationship, or we're like, God, in my natural ability, I can't serve this person. I can't love them the way you're calling me to love them. I can't represent you the way you're calling me to represent you, because they just frustrate me so much. And in those moments, we need to call on him, say, Jesus, I know I can't do this in my own strength, but I know you're with me. I know all the enabling, all the empowerment that I need is in you. And he said he'd never leave us. Now, sometimes in those frustrations, right, or maybe there's things out in front of you. You're frustrated with your current situation, or you just know that your situation is going to change. Maybe you're going to school right now, and you know that in a year or 2 years, 3 years, you're going to be stepping into a job. You're going to be leaving and moving to a different location. Maybe you know in a few years the kids are finally going to be out of the house, and you've got your house back, right? Or maybe you know that you are going to change careers. And the thing you're in, you don't know necessarily when it's going to change, but you do know you're going to make a change. You're going to step into retirement here in another year or two. And so we can start to look at what's in front of us and think, okay, if I can just get to that, that's when I'll be content. That's when I'll be happy, right? My challenge to you today is don't miss the now for the next. Don't miss the now for the next. First reason for that is that you don't know what God wants to do in you right now where you are to prepare you for where he's taking you. So you only have a limited perspective of where God's looking to take you. You may have no perspective, really, of what's in front of you, but he knows. He knows the things that need to be worked out on you, the things that need to be prepared and shaped in order for you to be equipped for that next season. You know, David is a perfect example of this. David was anointed as the king of Israel, that he would be the king of Israel as a young boy. The prophet Samuel came and passed over all his brothers, asked his father, is there any other son that you have? Because God had sent him to the house of Jesse, David's dad. And he said, well, yeah, there's David. He's out tending to the sheep. And he said, well, bring him here. We're going to wait till he gets here. And he came and he said, yep, he's the one. And so he'd been anointed. So he knows out there in his future is he's going to be the king. But he still went back and was shepherding his father's sheep. His brothers went off to war. And he could have had this perspective like, I want to be the king. I need to be out there. I need to be learning strategy. I need to be out on the battlefront. You know, learning from the king because I'm going to take his job, right? But David served faithfully in caring for his father's sheep in that season of life that he was in. And during that season, he learned to trust God because there were times where a lion would come or a bear would come and attack a sheep. And he would go after that lion. He'd go after that bear. And he'd kill him. And so sometime later, he ended up out on the battlefront taking some supplies to his brothers. And Goliath was there. You know, most of you, whether you've been in church or not, have heard of David and Goliath. And Goliath was this giant that was threatening the armies of Israel. And none of the men of Israel, none of the soldiers wanted to fight him. But David said, who's this Philistine who's opposing God's people? And he said, you know what, King? The God who delivered me from the lion, the God who delivered me from the bear, will deliver me from this giant. And he went out and defeated the giant. But had he not allowed God to do in him what he did in him during that time of tending the sheep, he would have never been prepared for that moment that was catalytic in his journey to become Israel's king. So you don't know what God wants to do in you where you are to prepare you for where he's taking you. But two, you don't know what God wants to do through you where you are. You don't know the people that you're in relationship right now that you will not be connecting with when you move on from this season. You don't know what you're giving up by not taking advantage of the now. I'll give you a personal example. So in this journey of wanting to step into occupational ministry, back in 2015, so it's been about 5 years, and I was frustrated. I was like, man, God, is this what you have in front of me? Because it just seems like it's not materializing. And it just seems like it could be another 15 years before something happens, right? And I had had an opportunity to join our East Campus launch team. For some of you may not be aware, but we've got another campus that meets up in Worcester every Sunday. We call it our East Campus. And so I got the opportunity to be part of that launch team and have been offered a part-time position in late 2015 to step into that. But I had to figure out how to get the rest of the income. And it seemed like all the doors I knocked on, there were some that seemed hopeful at first, but in time, every one of those doors closed. And I was just like, God, it's like it's almost there. But it's not. But what I didn't realize is at the end of 2015, a woman that I'd known, she'd worked in another department in the company, was going to come and work for me. She was a Jewish woman. She didn't know Jesus. And around the Christmas holiday season, I had the opportunity to start to share with her about my faith, ask her about her faith, and just start a dialogue. In January, I had the chance to preach here, and I invited her out to that. She came out, and she kept coming. She kept coming. And a few months later, she gave her life to Jesus. Around that same time, I had the opportunity to step into a full-time position here at LifeSong. But had I been so focused on the next that I missed what God was wanting to do through me in the life of this woman in the now, she may have never said yes to Jesus. In her eternity, her life was forever changed because I didn't skip the now for the next. And that's not me, but it's just an example of what God can do through us when we don't get so hurried in our lives and in wanting to get to the next thing, the thing that we think is going to make us happy, that we forget what God's wanting to do through us right here and now in the relationships that he's given us. You know, your kids are a stewardship. They're only under your roof for a relatively brief period of time. And your investment in them is going to shape how they view right and wrong, how they view God, how they view themselves, the value they see in themselves. We're all created so differently. The world kind of creates these stereotypical, well, that's the ideal. That's what's cool. That's what's hip. That's what's success. But we all are wired to play the roles God's called us to with success. And we have a job as parents to help our kids see the value of the gifts God's placed in them, and how to use those, how to leverage those to accomplish the things that God is calling them to. So don't squander the now with your kids because you're so looking forward to the time when you get your life back, all right? Now, when we talk about this idea of following God's calling, of giving our lives for others, we can feel like we're losing, right? There's things we're giving up. Yep, it's for others. There's a greater cause. I get that. But I'm going to basically miss out. I'm going to lose by doing that. And here's what I want you to write down. It's in giving yourself that you find yourself. It's in giving yourself that you find yourself. Matthew 10:39 says this. This is Jesus. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. You know, all of us, Pastor Dave talked about this earlier in the series, we're all going to lose our life someday. None of us can escape death. But it's actually in giving up your life now that you find your life. And that's not just your eternity, your eternal life, which is part of that, but you're going to experience a fullness of life here that you couldn't if you just tried to approach life from what can I get, what can people do for me? Mark Batterson pastors a multi-site church down in D.C. He's written a bunch of books, and this is how he puts it. I love this. He says, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. There's a sense of fulfillment, a sense of purpose in giving your life for others that you just don't experience when you live your life for yourself. You know, you can wake up every day knowing that your life matters to others. And you know what? Those others may not yet know that your life matters to them because they don't realize that Jesus has sent you into that relationship, sent you into that job for them. But you know, because you've taken on the disposition of seeing yourself as sent where Jesus has placed you now in this season. The other thing I want you to write down when we're talking about this idea that, I feel like I could lose by giving my life for others is this. Your going brings his blessing. Your going brings his blessing. If we turn back to John chapter 13, so this is that passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples after he washed their feet. So John chapter 13, again in verse 15, he says, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Then in verse 16, I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So God, here Jesus says, look, I came, I've given so much for you, I've served you, and I'm about to give it all for you. And I'm calling you to do the same thing. But if you'll do it, if you'll do what I'm calling you to do, God will bless you. And I can assure you that God's blessing on your life, God's favor on your life, is far better than any success, any blessing you can achieve, you can amass on your own. You know, no child can give more to their parent can give to them. I'm talking about young kids, right? You as a parent may ask your kids to do some chores around the house. You know, take out the garbage, empty the dishwasher, mow the lawn. And as a kid, you're like, Dad, I don't want to take out the trash. I just want to play video games. I just want to play with my toys. I want to just play baseball. And those little things that your parents are asking you to do, they pale in comparison to what your parents actually give you. Take your parents out of the equation for a day. You come to realize that, you know. Kids just don't necessarily get it at younger ages. We realize as we're older, we're parents, we realize how much we actually give for our kids. But I can assure you that our Father, the best Father, no earthly father can compare to him. And he owns everything. He's the creator of heaven and earth. It's all his. there's nothing you're going to do for him in allowing him to use you where he sent you that is going to outshine what he will do for you in return. The blessings he will pour on you, the favor you'll experience. And the greatest blessing of all is that in allowing Jesus to send you, accepting that call, you actually get more of him. You learn to become more dependent on him and his equipping within you. You see people the way that he sees them. You start to get more in tune with his heart and his desires because you're seeking them and not your own. Andy Stanley says this. So Andy Stanley pastors a large church down in the Atlanta area. And he's a well-known leader, author, both in Christian and secular circles. He says, the value of a life is always measured by how much of it was given away. At funerals, we never celebrate accumulation. We may envy accumulation, but we always celebrate generosity and selflessness. At the end of your life, that is what is celebrated. Life's got to be beyond you, not about you. Life's got to be beyond you, not about you. Now today, you have the opportunity to go home. Go back to your relationships, back to your family, back to your place of employment. See people through the lens of what they can do for you, how they're contributing or detracting from your happiness meter. Or you can see yourself as sent by Jesus, as his representative to those same people. You have no idea how your stewardship of those relationships can change the trajectory of those people's lives. There's so many people who may never see the value in themselves without you having a positive impact on them. They may never come to relationship with Jesus if it wasn't for you. They may never come to step into his purpose for their lives if it's not for you. So Jesus set an incredible example for us. And he says, look, I want you to follow in my example. Go where I've gone. Go into the world. Represent me. Make your life beyond you, not about you. And I will be with you always in that endeavor. So this morning, I hope you will accept his call to be sent by him into the world where he has placed you, right here and right now. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand with me? I'm going to pray over you here this morning. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the incredible example that he set for us. Example of service, an example of love when we didn't deserve it. This morning, I ask that you would help us to accept your call, to be sent right here where you have placed us, to the relationships you've given us, the places of employment where you've given us influence, the communities where we're connected. Use us to make a difference for you, to leave people better for having known us and having known you because we represented you to them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you're here this morning and you would say, I've never said yes to Jesus. I've never taken that step to follow him. We don't want to leave today without giving you the chance to step into that relationship. Again, I am quite confident there's no greater sense of purpose, no greater meaning your life will experience than stepping into a relationship with Jesus and allowing him to walk this journey out with you and use you in ways that go far beyond what your own natural abilities can accomplish. So what we're going to ask here in a moment is if you want to make a decision for Jesus, we're going to just ask you to slip up your hand right where you are with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's going to be looking around. This is just you and Jesus. But if you're ready to say yes to Jesus today, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand where you are, and then we're all going to pray a prayer together that many of us has already said to step into that relationship. That's it. We're not going to call you down front. We're not going to embarrass you.
But we want you to be able to step into this relationship with Jesus right where you are here this morning before you leave. So if that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand right where you're at. Say, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. I don't understand what the journey is all going to look like. I don't get all of this yet. None of us do either. We're all on a journey with you, okay? But on the count of three, if you're ready to start that journey, just slip up your hand right where you are. One, two, three. Who would say yes? I see that hand. I see that hand. Who else would say, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus here this morning? Start that journey of following. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else that wants to join them, step into a relationship with Jesus today. All right, so as I said, we're all going to pray this prayer with you. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you sent him to pay the price for my sin. I thank you that through his sacrifice, I can step into right standing with you. I thank you that you raised him back to life just for me. So I receive his right standing. I receive the new life that is available through him. And Jesus, I call you my Lord, and I call you my Savior. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Can we just give a hand to those who just made that decision here today?